Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that is top of mind for many financial services companies. I have three guests on today's show that will be sharing some practical advice and best practices for becoming operationally ready for real-time payments. Before we dive into this topic, let's start with some introductions. Reid, let's start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Reid Lutan, an executive director at the U.S. Faster Payments Council. We're an industry association that brings together all the different segments of the payments ecosystem to have those critical conversations around how do we move the United States forward to fast, safe, easy to use, ubiquitous, faster payments. So excited to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Great. Now, how about you, Tony?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Tony Cook. I'm an executive vice president at First Bank based in Colorado, and I oversee our payment operations and real-time payments, including our RTP and FedNow projects.
Thanks. Now, Cheryl, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Cheryl, and I'm a program director at BHMI. And BHMI is a trusted provider of software solutions focused on the back office processing of payment transactions. And I've been in the payment industry throughout my professional career, working with clients to implement solutions to meet their payment processing needs.
So let's kick things off by discussing the current state of real-time payments. My first question is for Reid. As executive director of the U.S. Faster Payments Council, can you summarize what emerging trends you're seeing with faster payments?
Yeah, you bet. I think as a sort of level set, I think what we're seeing in the payments industry is indicative of what we're seeing more broadly throughout our lives and in the economy more generally. So things like moving more and more digital, more and more remote, more and more real time, just a huge rapid pace of change, I think is the thing that separates this era from prior eras in payments and specifically. But I think also an interest in new ideas and new ways of doing business. And that has translated and flowed through into the faster payments, which are of course a new way of conducting payments. People are interested in learning about it. Lots of folks getting engaged through the Fed, through the Clearinghouse, through the Faster Payments Council to learn about what faster payments are and how it might affect them. People launching it. Tony said he's leading the effort at First Bank to launch both services. We're seeing a lot of that activity. We recently conducted our Faster Payments Barometer Survey, and about 90% of our respondents said that they are either in the process of implementing, they've already implemented, or they'll be implementing in the next 2 years. And then finally, folks are figuring out ways to leverage this. So use it for different flows and different aspects of their business, whether that's serving as a financial institution, serving folks who are pushing payroll to people in real time, or funding loans in real time, paying your bills. I think folks are finding all kinds of different ways that this sort of foundational layer of technology and really a communication is funneling through and feeding into all kinds of different aspects of their business.
Thanks, Reid. Now, Tony, as EVP of Payment Operations and Real-Time Payments at First Bank, can you tell us about the benefits of real-time payments and how First Bank is leveraging these benefits to better serve clients?
Yeah, so at First Bank, we're actually starting with the ability to receive real-time payments only, but we see enormous benefit just from starting at that point alone. If you think about all the great opportunities, especially in areas like payroll or the gig economy, Uber, Grubhub drivers, as well as the ability to defund wallets, we really are excited about the opportunities there and for our customers to get paid faster. Like some of the things that Reid was just mentioning as well, I think some of the other core benefits and things that we get really excited about are just the overall 24/7 availability, the ability to share and exchange information along with payments, and then just overall the transparency and control that real-time payments can provide. We've been on the Zelle network for a long time, so we're pretty comfortable with the 24/7 processing, but being able to expand those use cases outside of just P2P gives us a lot of great opportunities. And eventually building out use cases will really help us grow and gain more customers, especially within the commercial space. Within the real estate industry, there's a lot of high dollar payment exchanges and often at the closing table. And I think there's really great opportunities to leverage real-time payments to improve those experiences and maybe expand hours or just add more value to that process. And then, you know, on the transparency piece, I think that there's a lot of great benefit, especially for consumers. The control and that real-time payments can provide allows you to make last-minute payments and really be able to pay when you want to pay. And then with the certainty or finality that that will get credited to your account. Really, there's an endless number of possibilities and exciting opportunities, and will be fun to see how the market evolves.
Great information. Thanks, Tony. My next question is for Cheryl. From a software provider's perspective, can you share some examples of how BHMI's clients are using real-time payments?
Absolutely. Yes. So most of BHMI's clients are large processors and financial institutions that are processing on behalf of banks, credit unions, and merchants. So over the last 5 years, we've seen the use of real-time payments grow dramatically. Our clients are offering a wide range of new real-time payment services to the retail business and corporate customers, like some of the ones that Tony just mentioned. This has ranged from simple account-to-account payments to more complex business payments. When real-time payments first started entering the market, we were mostly seeing simple consumer-to-consumer payments. But over the last few years, we've seen companies become much more sophisticated in their use of real-time payments. For example, some companies are starting to leverage the benefits of being able to link invoicing together with real-time payments processing, creating a much more seamless and integrated procure-to-pay process. And I've heard that this real-time use case is helping companies reduce operating costs, obtain faster payment times, and improve cash flow visibility. Again, Tony mentioned that transparency. So this is just one of many examples we are seeing. But bottom line, I think we are going to see many creative B2C and B2B use cases for real-time payments over the next few years.
Thanks, Cheryl. So based on what has been shared so far, the rapid adoption of real-time payments is resulting in many business opportunities, but also causing many operational challenges. Reid, can you share some of the main challenges or hurdles you see members of the Faster Payments Council facing with real-time payment adoption?
Yeah, sure. I think I would probably categorize them into sort of three buckets. There's trust, there's experience, and then there's reach. I think those are kind of the three big things that we're sort of trying to grapple with here at the FPC. So I think on the trust front, I think there have been quite a bit of chatter last year or so around whether it's mistake or authorized push payment fraud or various types of fraud that's happening in that space. I think that's no surprise, right? Anytime a new payment technology comes about, some of the earliest adopters are going to be the folks who are going to try to steal money from other people. And I think there's going to be a lot of work to be done to sort of figure out where are the best lines of defense, what are the layers that need to be put into place there. And so I think working collaboratively is going to be critical on that front. The next one is experience. What is that user experience like? There's so many different use cases that can be served through these new rails, but each of those different use cases will require a well-designed experience for the users, both on the send side, which is going to be, I think, the more difficult side to implement in terms of creating an experience that allows somebody to initiate a payment, but also on the receive side. What is that experience like for the account holder who's receiving a payment? What information are they getting along with that so they understand why that payment is coming into their account, what it's for, and how they can reconcile it quickly and easily? And hopefully, from a corporate perspective, how can they automate that reconciliation? And then the last one is reach, right? We've been at this for a while, but we're still relatively early days. So the Clearinghouse RTP network is at about two-thirds-ish of accounts that they can reach for receive. The FedNow network, of course, is launching later this year. So we're well short of that ubiquitous reach that you'd look for when you want to have a fully fledged network that can serve all the different financial institutions and accounts in this country. So I think those three things that we're sort of like working our way through, and we're developing as an industry and as an ecosystem ways to sort of make it easier to onboard onto the network, helping folks figure out what those different experiences look like for different use cases, and helping folks have those critical conversations around fraud and losses.
Thanks, Reid. My next question is for Tony. What are some operational changes First Bank has made or is planning to make in support of its real-time payment strategy?
Yeah, you know, I think everything that Reid just went over is definitely spot on. And at First Bank, from a receive-only perspective, there's definitely a lot that has to be put in place operationally. And it's maybe not as complicated as you think, but it definitely just has to work right. You know, we haven't found the need to make any wholesale or major operational changes or upgrades, like bring in a large amount of staff or 24/7 support or things like that. It's really an expansion and extension of what we're doing to support other payment rails. But there's definitely a lot of areas that we're focusing on. Some of these Reid touched on as well, but we want to make sure we have really great data and reporting to get real-time insights and analysis out of our payment volume. We have to support request for return of funds processing, making sure we can receive, process, and respond to those messages within the required timeframes. Reconciliation is a really big one for us, not only reconciling with the network and internal accounts, but making sure we can do that 7 days a week versus the traditional five. Automation is also an important part of that, like Reid mentioned. Liquidity management, you know, how and when we'll fund or defund. Of course, there's always the things, you know, fraud prevention, compliance, and then, you know, customer and employee education and awareness. And I think it's really important to note that all these different components mean different things to different financial institutions, and important for everyone to kind of analyze those and what those mean for them. And then also did want to note, whereas we're looking at receive only, sending is a different story. There are some additional considerations and some different operational pieces that need to be considered, especially in lines of like fraud prevention when payments are going out the door. So just wanted to call that out as well.
Great. Thanks, Tony. So Cheryl, can you share some operational challenges companies are asking BHMI to solve to support real-time payments?
So one of the biggest challenges we see companies facing is how to overcome their dependencies on legacy systems that were designed decades ago and not designed for real-time payments. This is primarily the case with back office systems that cannot match the real-time capabilities of payment front ends. To illustrate, a typical back office system creates batches of funds transfer transactions and processes them at specified periods of time, sometimes daily, sometimes multiple times a day, but not in real time. This means that the back office systems aren't able to provide the real-time processing and reporting that's needed. So BHMI is focused on helping its clients modernize their back office environment so they can support real-time payments along with the traditional card-based payments. It includes implementing solutions that allow any type of payment to be brought into a unified payments back office environment. The system has to support not only the ISO 8583 message format for card payments, but also the ISO 20022 message format being used by real-time rails around the world. We're also implementing solutions that are based on a continuous processing architecture. What this means is that once a transaction is authorized, back office processing such as settlement and reconciliation can begin instantly. So it's a completely different approach than what is being used in today's legacy batch systems. And mentioning again, reconciliation, as both Reed and Tony had mentioned that earlier. We are also finding that companies want a payment back office environment that's nimble and it's easy to change. So we're helping our clients future-proof their payments back office by providing very flexible rules-based solutions. To give you an idea of what I mean by this, all the modules within our Concourse Financial Software Suite can be modified via rules configuration rather than making expensive software changes. And one last challenge I want to mention relates to chargebacks and disputes. As real-time payments adoption grows, so will the number of disputes, and our clients are wanting to create a better process for real-time payment dispute management. It can be a daunting challenge since disputing real-time payments is often very different than what companies are used to supporting. So it's another challenge that BHMI is helping companies to overcome. For instance, we are helping clients process dispute investigations and payment returns through the ISO messaging standard, which means that the solutions we are implementing are resolving disputed transactions in almost real time. There are many other challenges companies are asking BHMI to help solve, but in a nutshell, companies are asking us to help them modernize their payments back office so they can take advantage of the growing and changing opportunities in the payments industry.
This has been a helpful discussion on some of the main operational challenges. Now, I'm hoping we can discuss some practical advice on how companies can transform their operations to support real-time payments. Reed, let's start with you. Since the Faster Payment Council's membership includes a wide range of companies with diverse viewpoints, what high-level advice do you have for companies that have yet to adopt real-time payments?
Obviously, you know, self-servingly first, I would just say do it. But taking a step beyond that sort of trite advice, I would say I'm going to try to categorize these a little bit into different personas because I think their considerations are different for financial institutions than maybe they are for corporates. And I think service providers are certainly part of the mix, but then we'll probably weave those in a little bit because I think when it comes to financial institutions, it's really about first developing that strategy, having those conversations with your customer, but asking the right questions of your customers, not asking them, hey, do you want to do RTP transactions, asking them like, what is it you're trying to do with your business? How could faster payments affect you and provide advantages to you? I think that's one. I think engaging with potential service providers, right? So there's lots of folks out there who can help you sort of connect the dots, both on the solution provider side, but also on like the intellectual service provider side. So I think identifying those trusted resources to sort of bring in as partners is going to be critical to building that strategy and figuring out how you've ultimately put it all together for a financial institution perspective. And thankfully, you don't have to do that all on your own. You can head to fasterpaymentscouncil.org. We have solution provider catalog and a service provider catalog to help you sort of identify some potential partners in that space. From the corporate perspective, I would say bring your story to your financial institution. Tell them, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. And the payments I have available to me today, for whatever reason, aren't quite getting me where I need to be. And it could be that faster and instant payments are part of the answer there. And you can talk through that and figure out how that strategy can be implemented between you and your financial institution. But that's not going to happen if you're not being the squeaky wheel.
Thanks, Reed. So Tony, from the perspective of a financial institution, what are the most important operational considerations for real-time payments?
Yeah, I think a really important component is maybe not directly operationally, but I just want to add on to the point around the right technology partner or solutions, you know, whether that's building or buying and what your technology partners can provide to you. But a little more on the operational side, and what I wanted to highlight was, you know, maybe less on the transaction processing side, but something that I think is really important to adoption and onboarding of real-time payments is education and awareness for your employees. We get a lot of questions around what's the difference between RTP, FedNow, Zelle? How can customers actually take advantage of this? Why would they want to do that? What's in it for them? And I think it's really been a driver of that is it's been so long since there's been a new payment rail. And a lot of our internal employees are used to how ACH wires and checks work. And it's hard to understand some of those fundamental differences. So really focusing on those fundamental differences and making sure there's a broad understanding, as well as painting a picture of, you know, what the future holds with real-time payments and all the possibilities with innovation and new use cases and things like that, everything that's still to come. I think those are really important pieces to make sure your teams understand. And then as Cheryl was talking about as well, you know, from a back office perspective, I think just due to the nature of how these systems work, we expect to see fewer exceptions and manual processing, which we found is actually a little bit uncomfortable for some of our employees who are used to making pay and return decisions or different corrections on various payments. So that's been kind of an interesting observation, but then really just making sure you reach that broad set of stakeholders as well, you know, frontline employees, compliance, legal, senior management. It's really important for all of those groups to understand. And that's something that we think has really benefited us in our real-time payment journey is the number of employees and the support that we have, kind of a full understanding of that. But I guess I would just say, you know, don't underestimate the value of a strong education campaign and make sure it's part of initial and ongoing efforts.
Thanks, Tony. Now, Cheryl, based on BHMI's experience as a provider of back office payment software, can you tell us how software can play a role in modernizing payments operations for real-time payments?
Sure. If you think about it, software is at the core of every payment, and it's the heart of every company's payment operations. So software plays a huge part in the modernization of payment operations for real-time payments. And based on BHMI experience with the payments back office, there are four primary areas to consider. First, consolidation. You need to find solutions that support all payment methods and data sources in one unified solution. The system should be able to process any transaction, regardless of the payment type or payment source, and provide real-time access to consolidated payments data. Second, streamline. Look for solutions that are based on continuous processing, API-driven architecture that will ensure the back office is not a bottleneck for payments processing. Third, automation. Select a solution that includes a configurable workflow engine that allows your company to spend less time on manual tasks or correcting errors and more time on building a profitable business. And finally, future-proof. Consider a rules-based configurable system that eliminates the need for costly software changes to meet new processing requirements and markets.
That's really great advice. To wrap things up, I have a few remaining questions. Reid, I understand the Faster Payments Council has a new operational considerations for instant and immediate payments work group. How did the work group come about?
Yeah, it's fun to answer that question because it came about really the way all of our work groups at the Faster Payments Council come about. We're a very sort of member-driven organization. And so the work that we're doing here is the work that our members bring to us and say, hey, this is something that's going to be really important for the industry. And so we have a process for members to propose work group activities. And that's how this one came about. We had to actually, I think Tony was part of the group that helped propose that one. And I know he's one of the leaders of it too. And I can get to that in a second. But what they said was, hey, there's a critical need here. There's a lot of focus in the space around how do you implement, how do you get up and running with these new payment types, but less has been focused on in terms of, okay, well, once it's up and running, what are the implications to your business? What are the implications in terms of some of the things Tony was talking about earlier in terms of staffing and being operational 24/7? And what does that mean both from a financial institution perspective, which is where that work group is starting, but then I think also like sort of zooming out and saying, well, what are the implications of that for other users of the payment system more broadly? A lot of retailers, for example, are accustomed to operating 24/7, but they're not necessarily accustomed to receiving settlement of transactions constantly all day. So there are going to be different things that maybe you have to deal with on all different sides of this equation. So I think having a group that's meant to say, okay, what is it like to actually operate in this space? And what are some guidelines and best practices that we can help the industry sort of get a running start when it comes to having implemented rather than having to figure it out all on their own every time, you know, 9,000 times as each FI comes on board.
Thanks, Reid. Now, Tony, as the vice chair of the Operational Considerations Work Group, what can you tell us about the goals and deliverables of the work group?
Yeah, Reid, I think, really covered the core of it with RTP Live and FedNow going live soon. We think there's a lot of financial institutions and other stakeholders that have questions around how this works and really what this means in terms of what happens within the walls of our organization and how to support it on an ongoing basis. So the goal of our working group is to really provide resources, education, best practices, really aimed at FIs initially to help them understand what they need to consider putting in place to support real-time payments. Again, you know, everything from fraud prevention, reconciliation, disaster recovery, and a couple really important parts is we're hoping to leverage the experience from others that have gone live or that are going through the process now to share that information. And going back to what Reid was talking about earlier with trust, experience, and reach, I think those are some of the core goals here as well. We're trying to leverage the experience across the industry, share that experience to build more comfort and trust with those financial institutions that are considering going live, maybe on the cusp of that decision or are already going through the process. And then ultimately, the goal, I think, is to help create more adoption and usage and reach across these networks. So our first deliverable will be a high-level bulletin that will just cover some of these categories at a very high level. And then we're going to have subsequent deliverables that do a deeper dive into those different components that detail out more best practices and examples and experiences and things like that. So definitely stay tuned. There will be a lot more to come from our working group in the coming months.
Excellent. Reid, Tony, and Cheryl, thank you for being on today's podcast. You provided some great insights and advice for companies that want to become operationally ready for real-time payments. We hope to have you all back on soon.